Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay,
when the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone,
or you say,
hang it in there,
because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak,
then this is your sign to call, text, or chat 988 for free, confidential support, anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Open the door to big savings with a brand new look with Larson Doors. Now at Menards. Whether you're looking for traditional, modern, or a screen door, Larson Storm Doors are perfect to enjoy the fresh spring air. They come in over 40 styles of storm doors to choose from. Check out all Larson Storm Door options in store and find more great deals in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The College Football Experience 2024 Week 5 Preview episode on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times the amount of money in ULF, NBA, UFL, NBA, college football, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and much, much more. Sign up today at underdogfantasy.com. Use their promo code TCESGPN. Once again, that's promo code TCESGPN to get 100% deposit match. And remember, as always, folks, to let it ride.
This is Jerry Glanville, and you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride, brother.
Whoa, whoa.
There we go.
Deja vu.
On all levels.
Yes, yes, yes. Woo-wee. Welcome. Welcome to the College Football Experience. Week 5 preview and picks and draft. Oh yes, for the 2024 college football season. It is May 6th and we're hitting you with week 5. Why? Because we love it. We love it that much. All right, and team previews coming around the corner. If you haven't caught our other 5 episodes from week 0, week 1, week 2, week 3, week 4, we draft the top 30 teams for each and every week, or 30 teams, top 30 games for each and every week. We also do a Lou Holtz what the fuck game of the week of why is that game scheduled and, you know, why should that not be on television? And also an FCS game of the week. So we keep rocking here on the College Football Experience. Remember, this offseason we'll also preview all 134 FBS teams. That's a record. We've previewed every team every offseason for a long time now, but never 134 as Kennesaw State loads up.
Keeps getting bigger.
Next year's 135 with them Delaware Blue Hens.
The more, the merrier.
Let's go. Yes. And shout out to the chat. You can watch this youtube.com/thecollegeexperience. GBO Farms saying he's ready. He's ready to talk shit. All right. Look, if you're wondering who the hell you're listening to, we are the College Football Experience. And my name is Colby Swing and Dan to Base Dan, AKA Pick
Dundee. That's not a pick. This is a pick.
He was raised in the land down under, where a man thinks on his feet, speaks with his fists, and lives by his wits.
When Dundee happened, he was a superstar.
He's the kind of guy that would drink a gallon of gasoline so he could piss in your campfire. You could drop this guy off at the Arctic Circle wearing a pair of bikini underwear without his toothbrush, and tomorrow afternoon he's going to show up at your poolside with $1 million smile and a fist full of pesos.
Amen, I will. I will have that $1 million smile and a fist full of pesos after... Hey, my futures last year, pretty fire. I remember week one, I had Colorado Moneyline. They were 21-point dogs. They won outright. Fuck out of here. Woo.
Now, if you can only get UFL right.
I mean, I can get the games right. I just can't. Is it ULF, UFL? This is what happens when you. This is what happens when you change the league every goddamn, you know, USFL, XFL.
Thank God he's not dyslexic with the lines
what was,
here.
What was their thing last year where, like, the path where crossroads meet bullshit? I don't know. Something, they had some type of, you know, the XFL.
Slogan,
yeah, it had a slogan. You know what I'm talking about.
Leaders and legends? No.
Oh, man, leaders and legends, yes.
Not quite that bad.
Yeah, that was horrible, too. I am joined by my co-host. Like I said, hopefully you're watching this, YouTube.com/TheCollegeExperience. Give it up for former JMU Duke defensive back, the burrito-eating, sideline kiss-stealing, wheeling and dealing, Patty C, in the place to be.
Hi-oh!
Let's get it going.
Yeah, buddy.
Let's get it going.
Got a little ballast point here. You know, drinking some heavy stuff.
Weehawk's going to salute you, I think. No more of that Mick Ultra. He came in with a message to prove. He's no longer TMZ, Pat. He's taking a lot of those mid-major.
This is a hipster. You know, any
G5,
IPA is really
you
hipster.
Say.
That's right. I'm getting on Colby's level here.
Let's go.
Watch out. We're not counting calories tonight.
We are also joined by third man in the booth, the DFS guy. We're still playing UFL DFS.
Got it.
All right.
Nailed
get
it.
On over there. UFL DFS.
Got to slow down the delivery
yes,
to get that
that's
one.
Right. I just need to think. It's challenging. Give it up for the Rooftop IPA, drinking homebrew, making tobacco, living the free lot, giving former heard the basketball league MVP. Give it up for NC Nick in the place to be.
There we go. What's going on, fellas?
Oh, you know.
Your song is what's going on, buddy. Your song. Play it. Let's go.
You know, we got Colby. We're talking a little pre-episode here.
The longer I look, the more I am impressed with this week's slate.
Really? Because
I have a pretty good slate.
Let me just call it out for what it is. This is, to me, yes, we get one game, I would say that you could make a case.
You might be able to make a case. Is
would
irrelevant.
Be intriguing. Now, I just want to throw a flag on the play though on a good amount of these, and we're gonna get to them. That was my thing from coming away from this week. Is there are some great matchups, but to me, this is a TMZ week as far as to me realignment bullshit. There's so much realignment. On this week.
A little bit.
No. I'm talking about from the beginning. Talking about Maryland at Indiana. Vomit. Right? I'm talking about some other ones there. I'm gonna say Mississippi State, Texas. Vomit.
Washington Rutgers.
Vomit. Nebraska Purdue, vomit. All right. We don't want those.
That's not recent.
No, I'm saying from the beginning. I didn't say recent. No. I said from the beginning.
Well, Nebraska, Purdue, they've been playing that for the last, what, 5 or 6 years?
True, but I'm saying from the beginning, even longer than that, I think.
Still doesn't have any, you know.
They've ruined, like, Nebraska playing any Big 12 team would be more intriguing than Nebraska, Purdue.
Let me ask you this, Colby. At what point, after realignment has happened, and it inevitably does, right?
Yeah.
Does a rivalry become something that is no longer vomit-worthy and is something that needs to be honored and protected a little bit?
And what's the best example of that?
Yeah, I'm about to say it hasn't really, like, when I look at West Virginia in the Big 12, there's none to me.
Well, it happened back in like the 1920s, and those are all
They didn't come. They were still regional then in the 20s.
Yeah.
Like, this is the first time you're really seeing it. Yeah, I'd say West Virginia to the Big 12 was the first one where it just made no fucking sense.
Yeah.
Right? And then you saw a bunch of other ones do this. You know what I mean?
So what about A&M in the SEC? Rekindling things with Arkansas? Because that's on the schedule this week.
Well, in Texas. Texas with Arkansas, too.
I'm talking about a recent history, so that hasn't happened yet. That's going to happen this year, yes. I'm saying
A&M plays Arkansas every year since 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm saying of the recent realignment, this year not counting, what's the example of a good rivalry being born
out of that expansion?
See, but that A&M Arkansas wasn't born. That was old.
True.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's like Texas and Texas A&M playing each other again this year. We're great to have that rivalry back, or Texas and Arkansas. Mm-hmm. We're glad to have that back.
Have Louisville, Miami, or Boston College, Syracuse, or Virginia Tech formed any big rivalries in the ACC against non-former Big East teams?
No.
Virginia Tech, UVA, but again, that's not new.
Yeah, that I don't.
Has Missouri?
Yeah.
I know they try to pump this Missouri Arkansas rivalry, but
no.
Doesn't really do anything for me.
Utah, Colorado, hasn't really done much yet.
No,
the potential's there, but it's a border battle there. Yeah. That's conference realignment.
And like, believe it or not, they played a shit ton before.
Gotcha.
So it's not.
I got a doozy for you.
What's that?
And I know Colby doesn't get up on this one much. I'm curious to hear what Nick has to say about it. Notre Dame, USC. There was a time they didn't play, and yet that is now considered one of the top. Probably 10 rivalries in college football.
I would not consider that a top 10.
Well,
rivalry.
I know you wouldn't. Yeah. And Nick, what do you think?
And nor has realignment affected that.
What I'm saying is that's a non-regional rivalry that at one point wasn't played.
When was that not played?
Like the 1930s.
My
point is, going back to the original question, at some point that has become a revered rivalry,
the only
even though it's not regional.
That's the only, and I still don't think that's an elite rivalry.
And they both are like, top 10 wins all time and most national championships and Heisman winners.
Let's ask the question now, what potential new matchup has the chance of becoming a big time rivalry?
Some of those Big 12 ones, like Cincinnati, West Virginia, I think has potential.
Yeah. If they're playing every year.
I don't see any big new, Big 10 school really creating something new.
LSU, Texas could.
Okay.
LSU, Texas, I think could.
But are they going to be playing every year also? Probably not.
Probably not.
I think it's hard to create a rivalry when you play every 4 years.
Well, I mentioned this. I mentioned this last week. The desert battle. Texas Tech and Arizona State, or Texas Tech and Arizona, has potential to me.
Well, Houston and any of those Texas teams.
But they're going to be playing. Yeah, that's true. Houston, but Houston was in the Southwest with them, so it's not a brand new thing.
Yeah.
But same question applies with these mega sized conferences. They're not going to be playing every year.
Yeah,
so
but
it's.
I think with the Big 12, you'll. I don't know, because you got 18, right?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Either way, you're probably right.
For now, if not more,
so stupid.
It's probably not going to be as good as it was from a rivalry standpoint. If you don't play the teams every year,
right,
and they're not close to you, then it's probably going to suck. So,
yep. Well, let's get excited about this week.
but you understand my point where, like, I would say this week, look, compared to, like, I was looking at last year's, I would rather have last year's than this year's. Now, get off my lawn.
Perhaps I'm a bit jaded because I think it's probably the best week for ACC games so far. So I see a bunch on the list I want to play early.
Oh, and speaking of that list, let's youtube.com/thecollegeexperience. Let's expose. Wait a second.
Ourselves.
something like that.
Patty
C hasn't finished his second IPA
That's
yet.
That's right. Let's hold off just a few minutes.
Here we go. I mean, and look, I didn't have as much time to really rank these. There's a couple that are, I know, further along the list, late in there,
we'll get to them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not gonna talk anymore. But let's jump into this because NC Nick is on the clock. I don't think there's been any real news. I mean, there's talk about they're gonna pay the players some big number, but until they decide on that number, I'm not gonna chime in on that.
Something about a salary cap. I don't know.
Yeah.
Until the news goes final.
Something like that. So let's just
dive in.
Yeah, NC Nick's on the clock.
Well, I think this week is the most obvious number one. You can't make an argument for any other game. I don't need to sell this much. But a couple things I will say is that Georgia and Alabama are three of the last four national championships teams, and they played in the SEC championship game a year ago. Everybody has Georgia at Alabama. Top game of the weekend. It should be prime time. I don't think it'll be a 3:30, right? This is prime time.
I would make that assumption. They've been playing this since 1895.
Also. Fantastic game. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't get much better than Georgia Bama.
You know the last time Alabama played in Sanford Stadium?
Bosch tools are built for workers. The Bosch X-Lock grinder switches wheels up to 5 times faster than standard grinders, helping you go from grinding to cutting more quickly. Bosch tools, what hard workers deserve. Learn more at BoschTools.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at CedarPoint.com.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
Save big money on everything for your next project. Now at Menards. Spring is here, meaning time for outdoor projects. Cabot Australian Timber Oil is perfect for decks, siding, and outdoor furniture while providing maximum penetration, durability, and water repellency. Save big money on Cabot exterior stains to get your staining project started today. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
When was that?
That was 2015.
That's pretty. Yeah.
This is still in Tuscaloosa. How the fuck did they get him in Tuscaloosa here?
Right.
It's like, what? No, this is a clear cut number one game. There's no arguing this one. In my opinion.
All SEC bias taken into consideration, or anti SEC bias that we have.
No, I hate the Big Ten way more than the SEC.
I don't know
if really.
Yeah.
I think the Big Ten's the worst. Like them going to get these teams that make no fucking sense, and then
who should they have gotten though? I mean,
they're still the worst though, because they had this handshake deal. We have the alliance, SEC.
They are like pieces of shit,
like Texas and Oklahoma at least somewhat fit the SEC. The Big Ten is just little bitches.
They're just trying to survive during COVID.
You saw it during COVID.
You're going to give the ACC a hard time for being reactive and not proactive. And when the Big Ten does it, you give them a fucking hard time.
What do you mean they didn't?
And who should they?
The Big Ten would have been fine.
Iowa State, Kansas State, and Kansas. I mean, no offense to those fine schools,
Kansas actually makes a lot of sense.
But it's not quite, you know, Los Angeles. It's not quite Seattle. And Portland, you know.
Act like they would have gone out of business. They wouldn't have gone out of business.
No, but it's an arms race, and they had a
arms race. They went to 18. SEC's at 16.
They're being proactive.
Yeah, they're horrible. And them giving and it started with Rutgers and Maryland and Nebraska, by the way.
So that was awful.
Yeah.
No, that was a bad pickup.
Fuck them. They're the worst. I hate them. They're public enemy number one.
Nebraska could still turn into a good pickup. And Rutgers, shit. Football and basketball, Rutgers is on the move.
Stop selling this shit. All right. She's been selling me on Rutgers for fucking a decade.
Football is taking a little while.
Their fucking Jersey Mike's money. Georgia at Bama, though. I mean, this is, to me, easily the top game. Alabama, though, has won, 8 of 9 against Georgia? But then again, are they even in the same fucking conference?
The fact that it's in Tuscaloosa makes it even more compelling, because, you know, with Saban leaving and there being a lot of turnover at Alabama, you figure Georgia is the definite favorite in a neutral site. But at Tuscaloosa, maybe Kalen DeBoer We got a little flack for calling him Kalen DeBauer. That's probably me. Kalen DeBoer.
No, yeah. It's Kalen DeBauer.
All right. Yeah, that's what we're calling him.
I don't really give a shit if people criticize me for not getting a name right. If you want to hear great pronunciation and bad analysis and no
get
fun,
a language
go to
book,
ESPN.
All right?
There you go.
No.
I think that would be obviously a massive, you know.
Well, I think it's an interesting game because not only do you have the new element of DeBauer in there, he can also, the way, like, he's so, I think he's very underrated when it comes to you know, having your offense go. So against the strength of Georgia is always their defense. So fascinating matchup there. Bryant Denny Stadium.
Yeah, has
could,
Georgia.
Could be the first of more, too. I mean, what if these teams play in the SEC championship game again? What if they play in the playoffs, potentially? We could see this more than once this year.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, this could be a championship rematch again.
With no divisions, though, I think it's going to be a lot harder.
Probably.
We got to see how Bama looks. I mean, Texas is in that conversation, as is, you know, LSU and Ole
Texas
Miss.
Texas A&M and Missouri.
Put it this way. And, yeah, Oklahoma.
I'd be pretty surprised if Alabama wasn't in the playoff picture at the end of the year, regardless of whether they win the SEC or not. You know, I don't see them losing four or five games into DeBoer's first year. So,
agreed.
You know, assuming that.
Well, they have a nice schedule, too, I think, if memory serves me correct. Let me pull that up.
Yeah. This
I mean, they didn't deserve to get in last year and they got in. So this year, they were probably the same thing.
Yeah, especially with 12. I can't see them not being included. But, you know, this game will be huge for seeding. And I do think, seen a team as talented as Alabama is running an up-tempo, pass-happy system like DeBoer runs?
You know what's crazy is I don't know that they're going to pass that much with Milroe.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. What if he turns him into like?
Well, he's got a
Joe
history
Montana.
of running quarterbacks pre Penix and stuff. So
okay,
yeah. But I do think if Bama loses this game, you might have to watch out then, because assuming they beat Wisconsin at Wisconsin Week 3, which I think they will, I think they could lose at Neyland. Shout out to GBO Farms. I think Missouri could get him. And they have to go to Baton Rouge. They also have to go to Norman.
Wait, I thought you said
this. I mean,
their
road trips are no joke.
Yeah. Other than easier in the conference. Like, not it's a challenging schedule. Yeah. But it's easier
than the old SEC West.
Yes. Yes, or the old SEC schedule. Yeah. But they still have that November 16th daunting matchup against Mercer. yeah. All right. There we go. Anything else you want to add? All right. Dundee on the clock, pick two. As much as I want to play Arkansas and A&M, because I appreciate that back on the, you know, it's at Jerry's World for one more year, and I can't do that. I can't fucking do that. I'm gonna stay in the SEC. Oklahoma at Auburn, War Eagle. Look, these two teams have won national championships in the 2000s. Been a minute for Oklahoma though, but it's an appealing game to me. This is actually like, this is the one I'll give out of all the, I think there was two games on this schedule that appealed to me of the new realignment and not three. I think you guys will probably think three to me. One of them is not entertaining to me. But
without looking at it, I'm not sure which one you're talking about. But
I think it is. I think it's going to take place very close to you guys right now.
Yes. I don't find that game interesting. If anything, I think that game sucks. But the other one I in Dallas, I'm intrigued by.
I'm a little intrigued by that one. But anyway, go ahead.
So this is the top one to me. This is one where I feel like, you know, as much as I want Oklahoma in the Big 12 and Texas in the Big 12, because we Bedlam and what it should be, in my opinion, they fit there better. There are perks of joining the SEC is you get this matchup. And I think this matchup fits. It works. It works for a college football fan, a lifelong college football fan. So Oklahoma at Auburn, NC Nick, your thoughts?
Yeah, I like this one a lot too. And to comment or to respond to Timothy Green in the chat, who thinks Oklahoma is going to beat Auburn, I would say not so fast. On the plains, Auburn is a different team.
Ask Alabama.
There you go. I mean, Auburn was just 6-6 in the regular season last year. Got beat up bad versus Maryland in the Music City Bowl, but year number two. I think Auburn is improved this year. Both teams have an over/under of 7.5. So if you're betting on either one, this is a big game. I don't think both teams get to 8 wins. So this might decide one way or the other. I think it's a fun game. And if you're looking at Auburn, their next three games are at Georgia, at Missouri, and at Kentucky. So yeah, they better take care of business at home.
And they've been playing this since 1972, game three. Both of those were in New Orleans. Look, I would favor Auburn too.
Were those both? Yeah. Oh, those are both what? I'm guessing Sugar Bowls.
Yeah. Okay. But I would favor Auburn, but not by much, because when I think about Peyton Thorne back at Auburn, I'm like, I know they got a freshman coming in. I'm like, not by much, man. I would, like, if I was setting the line, I'd be like Auburn minus 2.5. You know what I mean?
To GVO Farms' point, New Mexico State won on the Plains.
That's true.
Last year.
New Mexico State had Diego Pissing Pavia.
But yeah, they did have Diego Pissing Pavia, who is the best quarterback in Tennessee, might I add. GBO Farms. All right. Let's go. I'm not joking.
Well, you know what? I think Oklahoma, of course, is my dark horse to win the SEC year one. I don't know if they're a dark horse, but I would call them a dark horse. I don't think they're getting the love that they probably deserve.
They're odds wise, I don't have it in front of me, but there's probably like at least 7 or 8 teams with better odds. So wow, I think that's a fine dark horse for you.
All right. Beautiful. Well, yeah, and this would be a huge one. You know, obviously, let me take a peek at that schedule. They got, that's a tough start.
That's they're
Houston, Tulane, Tennessee.
No, that's an easy start,
but
actually,
they're all at home. They that's should get saying. All three of those.
They should. What do you mean? They're getting brand new coaches. 2 out of 3 games that's in the true. First three.
If they go to Auburn and get the win,
it's later in the year. That's daunting. Like the Missouri at Missouri, home to Bama at LSU stretch.
But there's a bye between the Missouri and Bama game. I think it's a manageable schedule. I think they can get through with 1 or 2 losses. This one would be a massive one. You're right. The Plains are going to be rocking, and Oklahoma better be ready. But if they get through it, then a bye week before the Red River Shootout, and it could be a great start.
I know they
won
10 games last year, but when I look at, you know, a close game against SMU, a close game at Nippert against a shitty Cincinnati team.
That game was close score wise, but Oklahoma dominated it.
We watched that. Me and Nick watched that in a bar. I was not sold on Oklahoma.
I watched it, and I just watched Oklahoma march down the field and get to the 10-yard line in like 30 seconds every drive and then stall out.
Yeah, but and they wouldn't even be able to get field goals sometimes. They went for it on fourth
down.
They fucked around,
but they should have whooped on Cincy. Well, but anyway.
Then you have, obviously, they played Texas tough, which there's no shame in that. Those games will always be. I don't care what their records are. The UCF game, they only beat them by 2 in Norman, right? They lose to Kansas. They lose to Oklahoma State. They luckily BYU's backup quarterback. They beat BYU in Provo when their backup quarterback by 7.
Yeah,
in a game they could have lost. So I do think there's like a little bit of, were they really a 10 win team last year? I don't believe that, but you know, it's a new year.
And let's just say, to make GBO Farms happy, let's say Tennessee beats Oklahoma in Oklahoma's first ever SEC game. Then they're looking at a potential 0-2 start with Texas up next. That makes this game very important, because they damn sure don't want to start off potentially 0-3 in league play.
Yeah,
with Texas thinking revenge from last year. So it's a big game early in the season.
Yeah. Yeah. And remember, they got Casey Thompson transferring in his 35th year of college football. You know, they lose Dylan Gabriel, but they also have Jackson Arnold, the freshman, or he was a freshman last year. They were super excited about. I don't know who the hell. I'm assuming Arnold could start, but maybe they go Thompson. I don't know.
Wasn't Casey? He was
at Florida Atlantic last year.
But where was he before that? He was
Nebraska. Before that, Texas.
Okay, yeah, been all over the place.
Fucking ridiculous. But anyway, no. I mean, look, I think it's a cool game. I think on campus too. I would play Arkansas A&M if it was on campus, but it's not. It's at that filthy Jerry's World. So
that's the other bad thing about this week, is that there's 2 neutral site games in week 5. The neutral site games are supposed to be done with.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Amen.
2 is not that bad.
Week 5 is bad.
2 week, of like 50 or.
But I'm just saying, 70? Normally in week 5, you don't have any.
That's true.
Yeah. So, Patty C, you're on the clock.
There are some sexier names out here, but again, I'm going to use a buzzword that we were just kind of debating about online as it relates to this team in particular, relevance. And a relevant game that is occurring this week is Oklahoma State traveling to Kansas State in what very well could be for a bid to the Big 12 championship game.
I know the odds don't back you up on Oklahoma State. We talked about it last week, but yeah, I would tend to think, you know, I like, if you told me blindly right now, who do I think, what would I set the odds at? I know Arizona's coming in with a ton of press, right? And I know, I know, you know, the Wildcats are, you know, a team to watch out for.
They are down on them. You're believing.
Arizona. I like Brent Brennan. I actually think they got a better football coach today than they did yesterday, if that makes sense.
But they lost talent.
But they lost a lot of guys in the portal. And to me, they also, like, I thought Ben, they won a lot of close games with Fifita, and he's going to be better, I'm sure. But, I would set Utah, Kansas State, Oklahoma State is like the three favorites.
Top three.
And Arizona, then, I know, is in there at, I think, second, but I wouldn't put them there yet.
I agree.
Yeah. So, and I might even put Kansas in there too.
Yeah. They're not far off. Although I would, just based on recent history, have Oklahoma State and Kansas State ahead of them. The fact that this game is in Kansas State.
Well, Daniels hasn't been healthy both those years. Like, you feel like if he's,
yeah, he's, a, he they're a different team season with him,
yeah,
healthy.
Yeah, yeah,
definitely.
I lost audio there for a second. Did you take Oklahoma State, K-State?
Yeah, he did. And that all-time series, Oklahoma State leads by 16, 43 to 27. But it's a fun series. It's a fun series. Nick, your thoughts on this matchup?
I did have one Big 12 game higher than this one. But look, yeah, I mean, look, both teams are going to be right in the mix to win the league. I just think here, this game, if this is like the premier Big 12 matchup, or if these two teams are the top Big 12 teams, then I think the league's got a little bit of a problem, because Texas and Oklahoma will be missed. Because, I mean, just, I would imagine if, you know, when this week's all said and done and you go back and look at TV numbers, ratings wise, this game's not gonna be that high, you know?
True.
Maybe it should be, because it's going to be good football, two very good teams, but at a national level, national appeal, this game isn't on the radar.
Well, let me tell you what. You look at Miami, right? When you play in a smaller division and you consistently win, you know, in a lesser league, if you have
when they're in the Big East, you're saying.
When they were in the Big East, they dominated the Big East. They were able to put the fence around the Miami talent because they were consistent winners. The players knew they would always be in the mix. And so for some of these teams that don't have Oklahoma and Texas sitting above them now, they're going to, someone's going to take over the top spot. Now, the fact that there's so much parity, it seems like maybe that's bad for the league and they need a team that to jump up. But I assume one team in a few years will be looked at in a different way in the Big 12 as like a legit contender. Not sure.
That is one interesting thing about the league, to see who emerges, if anybody, because it might be, you know, new teams every year. Maybe it's Utah. Maybe it's Colorado. Who knows? I mean, that is one definitely appealing thing about the league, to see who does that. Maybe it's UCF. They've had such a high ceiling, but it may, I don't know if any team's going to really get up on that national level. That remains to be seen.
To me, that's on them then, because like, to me, I just looked at Kansas State and Oklahoma State. They've had five losing seasons since 2001 between both of them. Oklahoma State. And it was like, we were arguing with GBO Farms yesterday, and I think it wasn't even an argument. I think he took it as you know, what the national
who
media
will
says.
Watch
yes.
this team.
And I'm
more.
Like, I'm not, I don't give a fuck about that. I'm talking about Oklahoma State has been relevant in college football as far as contending for potential four team playoff or,
and to his point a little bit, let me throw GBO Farms a bone. It's as likely, even in those bad years for Tennessee, that they jump up and are in national championship contention as it is Oklahoma State, because Oklahoma State doesn't have that ceiling, and Tennessee, if they put it all together, turnkey, instantly does, you know. But the fact that Oklahoma State is staying in that conversation, even if they're not quite at that level, makes them more relevant than Tennessee.
And I would say, even like, I mean, Tennessee, if we're going to credit them in the 90s as a team that won a championship, well, fuck, then Colorado or Georgia Tech needs to be in that same conversation. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
most relevant
team. Yeah.
For me, the regionality hurts also, because I don't know any Oklahoma State or Kansas State fans. You know, like, I know a lot of SEC fans, you know, of certain teams, or our fans, you know, that usually tune in. It's hard to find.
Shout out to Alex. He's a K-State fan, longtime listener, one of our favorite.
There we go. I like it. Maybe in my day-to-day life on the East Coast, it's really hard to find anybody that cares about these two teams.
We are coastal elites on this podcast, unfortunately. True. As much as we try to be, you know, men of the people.
I'm just saying both teams have, and this goes back to like the BCS days. Both, you know, were legit. I had argued that one year, Kansas State, what was it, with the team with Michael Bishop, was
nasty.
Yeah. You put a big playoff. They might have won the national championship that year. Yeah. Their whole defense. They didn't get drafted in the NFL.
Yeah.
But all 11 starters played in the NFL.
Yeah, those years Kansas State was probably on the same level as Tennessee. Obviously Tennessee got the national championship.
Yeah.
K-State fell short.
Yeah.
Sir Parker, thanks to A&M.
Give us a large playoff.
Yeah.
Give us a fucking large playoff.
Happens. Anyway.
All right. Well, NC Nick, it jumps back to you. But before we do that, I want to tell you, you're listening to the College Football Experience on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Yes. And are you a hardcore baseball fan? Or maybe you're just a degenerate sitting in an office looking for some afternoon action. Either way, you'll want to make sure you subscribe to the MLB Gambling Podcast wherever you get your podcast. Get on over there. Check it out. They're serving high heat. Get on over there. And remember, as always, folks, too, let it ride. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. The NBA playoffs are here, and our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. What I love about Underdog Fantasy is, yes, okay, you can play their pick 'em game, and you can select all basketball players if you wanted to, but you could also mix and match and do a UFL player or an NHL player or an MLB player with your NBA lineup. A lot of places don't let you do that. It's fantastic. You can win up to 100 times the amount of money you enter, and it's a ton of fun. Underdog's available in 30 plus states, including California and Texas, and even the great country of Canada. So what are you doing? Make sure you sign up. And when you sign up with the promo code TCESGPN. Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code TCESGPN. All right, we're back on the College Football Experience. Or a better comparison would be Nebraska.
Yeah.
We don't give Nebraska. Nebraska and Tennessee are almost like, Nebraska is a better version of Tennessee, but they were like, Tennessee was really good in the 90s, like late 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
Nebraska was like the best fucking program in the country for for like 15 or 20 years.
Yeah. 25 straight top 25.
Oh, just ridiculous
finishes.
But if you compared Oklahoma State and Nebraska, you know, I know Tennessee's been better than Nebraska of late, but I'm just saying.
Yeah,
Nebraska's lost their
far less relevant than Oklahoma State.
But people can still remember national championships.
True.
With Nebraska and with Tennessee.
True, and that's fair. But you could also remember those with Colorado and Georgia Tech. And
yeah, I don't think JBO Farms is completely off on that one. I just think in our opinion, in our definition of relevance, Oklahoma State has been the more relevant team. But if your definition of relevance is, hey, they're going to draw more eyeballs every week.
I would agree with them then.
Yeah.
They will draw more eyeballs. There's probably way more people in the state of Tennessee than Oklahoma also.
True.
But also, there's a thing called Oklahoma State. Tennessee has Vanderbilt in the state and a group of five Memphis that they'll never let up to this level because certain reasons, right? So anyway, Jeff Sharp saying Nebraska's going to win 8 or 9 games this year. Watch! That's true, because their schedule's easy as fuck. And I'm kind of buying in, Jeff. All right. Well, NC Nick, it jumps back to you. Where are you going?
I'm about to roll off a bunch of ACC games, so I don't want to hear the hate from you two dipshits. But we're going to start. Weekday Nick is going to make an early appearance this week. Friday night.
Oh, that's Virginia, a good game.
Virginia Tech, Miami. Tell me that's not a bunch of fun. And tell me the hype train for both these teams isn't going off the fucking track. So right now, I mean, I just listened to some guy on the radio say worst case scenario, Miami loses only 2 games this year.
I'll say this, man. Every
I almost
day,
crashed my car. I said, what? Worst case scenario?
Dude, every day I go online, I see they buy a new player. I mean, you want to talk about who is the New York Yankees of college football this year? You would think it'd be an SEC school. No, it's Miami. It's fucking Miami, 100%. They've been playing this since 1953. Virginia Tech has a 10-game series lead. These all are good games. Miami's won 3 straight, surprisingly. But
could both teams be undefeated for this matchup?
Very possible.
My problem is,
both could be 2-2.
Yeah,
I like this game. We were actually check out the Stadium Heads podcast that I do with Michael Barker that just dropped. We were talking about this game last night. I think TV execs are calling the shot by moving this game to a Friday. The problem is no one in Miami on a Friday night is going to go to this game.
I disagree. They're going to.
Have you watched?
They for Virginia Tech Miami, an undefeated Miami team?
Undefeated. It's like week five.
Maybe.
Yeah. That's when Miami is at its
like. What was Miami last year?
Look at all the Florida State Miami games back in the day that were the Orange Bowl was packed.
But that Orange Bowl was 1 minute away, dude.
That's true.
I think for a primetime game, a standalone primetime game, I think this will be full.
If both teams are 2-2.
Last year, week two, they beat Texas A&M, and Texas A&M had the crowd there. Right.
Well, the Hokies will travel too.
I'm saying Miami was undefeated. That's my point. Texas A&M had the crowd, and then I remember Bud Elliott doing a classic tweet. I think they were playing Louisville, and they lost to Louisville, 38-31. Louisville had way more of the crowd than Miami. I'm telling you, this shit's gonna be empty. It's gonna be an empty game. Mark my words.
What is it? Hard Rock Stadium.
Yeah,
that does produce shockingly pathetic crowds. It's unbelievable that they went from the Orange Bowl to this. Even at the Orange Bowl, I feel like you would have fair weather fans, but they were good for so long that they always packed that stadium out for a long time. But with Virginia Tech coming to town Friday night, if they're both undefeated, I feel like they're going to come out.
No.
I feel like they'll come out.
I think Friday night hurts them in Miami.
Maybe. Miami's best Saturday afternoon.
Well, but maybe if it's like an event, you know, maybe that'll, you know, prime time.
Trust me.
Televised.
You want to talk about nationally relevant? Virginia Tech's not nationally relevant anymore. Miami is a TMZ crowd. They're not getting excited for Virginia Tech.
If both are undefeated, they will be excited for this game. If it's
top 25.
We're going to make a wager. I bet you it's half empty.
That's a dangerous wager for anyone to take.
It's only week five. If it was week 10, I might buy in. But week five, what are you talking about? You want to see their opponents besides Florida? Florida A&M, Ball State, and South Florida. If they can get through Florida, they should be undefeated.
Right. And the hype train, that's the thing about sellout fans.
Dude, they were undefeated against A&M last year. And A&M was top 15.
1-0 though.
But still, it's Texas A&M. They were top 15.
Yeah, I know. They should have been. If they weren't, you're right. You have a point there. If they couldn't fill out that game, then maybe they just don't have it at Hard Rock Stadium.
Half empty or not, it's going to be a fun football game.
Yes, so I agree. From a nationally, like from us sitting back and watching the game, it'll be fun. I wish it was in Lane for college football's sake.
Oh,
because I think if you're a TV exec, you should put games that are packed on television more. It kind of helps your product.
Yeah,
just kind of helps your product. But
ULF.
Yeah,
that's its new name now.
ULF. it's a good matchup. You have to favor Miami here. With that roster,
a little bit.
With that roster, a little bit. I guess yes, you're right. Like Miami was still like shitty over the past 20 years.
And Tech, the perception is that they're moving in the right direction.
I just think when I look at Virginia Tech's roster, they still don't have guys. When I look at Miami's roster, I'm like, they got guys. Can they put it together?
Yeah, that's true. Tech, when they really had it rolling, would have like one or two 5-stars on the roster and a bunch of 4-stars and. Right now, they just don't have that. They're sitting down there like at number 37 in the recruiting.
How about this? Miami's won 5 of 6 against Virginia Tech.
Wow.
Tough times for the old folks in Blacksburg.
I like that play, though. All right, ACC Nick. I'm with you.
All right.
And when I see the opportunity... Look, and I don't like a lot of this realignment shit, but I do like when someone basically, you know, fucks you to the top. And that's exactly what SMU did. They brought in the big wigs. They said, we're getting in the Power Five. We don't need your fucking money, ACC Jim Phillips. All right, go watch the Syracuse track team. Right?
Who fucked who to the top? Is what
SMU. What do you mean? They fucked everybody from the top. That's all right. True. They called in everybody. That's all right. True. George W. Didn't even go to SMU is making calls on SMU, behalf of them.
SMU fucked their way to the top.
They fucked their way to the top.
Who is a Hollywood elite that fucked their way to the top? We got them. SMU is the new.
I mean, there's a ton Hollywood elite that fucked their way to the top. I've always heard Thomas Jane. I don't know if he got elite, but there's a bunch of actors that have done that over the years.
Did you say Tommy Lee Jones?
No, he played. He played offensive line at Harvard for four yeah. years as a starter.
He's an all American guy.
I would never shit.
He must have been laying some serious.
Even though his roommate was Al Gore, who has supposedly invented the internet.
it's a powerful room, right? Powerful dorm room, right there.
Florida State and SMU guys. Look, SMU, you want to talk about? Like, I'm a skeptic because I think that schedule was easy as shit last year. I don't think they're that good of a football team. But them making this power move, I am behind. I hate the university. They've never played before, by the way. But I hate what University of Texas and Texas A&M has done to SMU and Houston over the years. Now that Houston's part of the party, now that SMU is part of the party, I'm their biggest fucking fans. All right? And SMU has potential to be the ultimate scumbag program. Even more so, maybe, than Saudi Arabia State, aka Florida State. So, Florida State at SMU, yeah. Please, SMU. I actually think if you told me like 10 college football games where I could dictate the outcome if I was in charge of it, like throw away the FCS, FBS matchups. Give me just 10 matchups. I would have this one pretty high. I would have Texas A&M beating an undefeated Texas at the end of the year.
Yeah.
As a fuck you to the rivalry. And I would have SMU beating Florida State and SMU winning the ACC year one. Right? This game's awesome in that regard of like you have Florida State, who was like broke a couple years ago, basically, you know, whore themselves out to Saudi Arabia, right? And get all this phony money in there.
Yeah.
And then you got SMU, who, like I said, hey, we're gonna have George Bush make our calls. George W., who he's not even a graduate from SMU. And then they're like, yeah, we don't even need the ACC's money. Fuck you. We got one team wanting to get in the ACC. The other one's trying to get the hell out the ACC because they're threatened that these Mustangs and their fuck you money, all right, are coming in there. And watch out. Make a statement. Come on, Mustangs. What do you think of this game?
Oh, I love it. Let me ask you this. In terms of private schools at top, presumably 10 media markets with shit tons of money that could possibly pour in, what are the ones that we're familiar with?
I mean, I would say the Ivy Leagues would be.
But I'm talking about
Miami. Oh, okay. Yeah, Notre Dame.
Notre Dame's that are not. I mean, Chicago's close enough, but yeah. I wouldn't say it's in Chicago. But it still has Chicago
USC.
And USC. I mean, SMU. No one's imagining them in this stratosphere. But if that's what they become, in short order,
yes,
you gotta fucking love it.
Let's go. And look, since we don't know that we'll have an ACC in 2 years, you got to win this game, SMU.
You have to wonder if this was part of the contract negotiations. Like if SMU said, look, we don't want any money, but you know what we want? We want your champion in our place for our first ACC game.
Seems a little too convenient. Internets.
But look, I mean, opportunity knocks.
Please.
This is your chance.
This
SMU.
Would be so fucking great.
If you want to make the biggest splash you could ever make, go out to win this game. Now, if you lose by three touchdowns, it's a big step back.
Well, and you know it's going to hurt.
Seriously,
it's going to hurt the alumni in the great state of Texas at SMU if they lose to Saudi Arabia State, because we saw round one what happened. George W. saw what happened.
He's still fighting that war right now. Saddam may be dead.
This is great.
But that Saudi money's
Desert
still there.
Desert Storm 2.0 right here. Let's go. All right.
The desert strikes back. The Saudis strike back in the deserts of Texas.
One more thing, too. Florida State has Clemson on deck.
Oh, it's great. It's
such a look ahead spot, too.
Whoever photoshopped, what's the name of the chief with the spear?
Oh, Osceola.
Doing that or having him on the camel. Fucking hilarious. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Haven't seen it.
Oh my God. It's out there in the Twitter universe, in the Reddit
fucking
universe.
Amazing.
It's great. Okay. That's my play. NC Nick, you like that play? Are you impressed of my ACC play here?
I had one more game, a little bit AC game higher, but I'm not going to argue with it.
Of course you do.
This one's a lot of fun.
Patty, see where you go.
Speaking of ACC, this is 1.5 ACC teams, so we're staying with the theme. And it was a pretty crazy game last year. In fact, one that really derailed Notre Dame's season. This is Louisville now traveling to South Bend, and Notre Dame looking for revenge.
Louisville, Notre Dame,
Both 10-win teams last year.
I know. I think I beat you in a wager last year when you said Notre Dame would fuck them up. I said, get out of here.
I was stunned.
Dominated.
That was the game that made me take Louisville seriously.
Really? That was the game that told me Notre Dame is pretender still.
Well, that also happened.
Especially the way they got dominated. But no, I like this play. I'm trying to look up the history of this right now. I believe so. It's 2-2 all time. Louisville has a chance to grab that lead. Come on, Brom. Come on, Brom. Nick, your thoughts? This is another ACC. This counts as an ACC game.
Louisville's 2-0 at all time against Notre Dame.
2-2. So they can get that lead.
I feel like only a few teams, only a handful of teams have a all time lead on Notre Dame. So that'd be elite territory for Louisville to go into.
Nick, it won't affect Louisville's conference record. So it's a quasi conference game, but I do think it's another fun matchup. It's another one of these big ACC games that I was looking forward to this week. You got the revenge angle from last year, and it's also a 10-win team versus an 11-win team from last year. So two teams who have aspirations to make this playoff as well.
Yeah. Jeff Sharp in the chat saying, I can't let my 56-year-old self come through, realize that college football is now a rent-a-team football. Fucking sucks. Well, you know, some say it was always kind of like that. It's just behind the scenes. We didn't see it as much.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I would say is that it's been exposed a little more. Now, yes, in a way,
the transfer portal makes it even worse, but maybe makes it better. Like, yeah, we've gone over this a bunch of times, but yeah, having a few teams buy up all the market and all the talent is maybe not as good as having it spread apart, all over the place.
But I get your point. It's still like who was the player we just talked
not
about?
Not fun to watch.
Casey Thompson's been on every goddamn team in the country.
Yeah. When you can,
you know what I mean? Like
when you can like suspend your
Dylan
disbelief.
Gabriel's been on every goddamn team in the country.
Yeah. Jake Garcia.
Every high
he's
school.
He's a pirate now. I'm going to be quiet.
Every high school and every college team in the country, Jake Garcia. Look, Notre Dame could very well. I mean, this is one of a few games that's hard on their schedule. And the fact that it's in South Bend, obviously going to, College Station to start the season and play against A&M is going to be a tough one. But other than that, I think they should.
Florida State game on November 9th.
Well, yeah, up until the Florida State game, that this is the only other hard one. And then Florida State's at home. And then they go to USC to end the season. I think Florida
and Lincoln Riley could be fired by then. You might not even play USC with Lincoln Riley. Yeah,
I think if Notre Dame is going to get to 10 wins and make the playoff, this is a must win. And so I think it'll be a packed house to be a fun game.
I'm not coming at any of these plays so far. I agree with all these plays. You like that? See? ACC, Nick.
Well, let's just keep it going because I think it's my pick, right?
Yes, it jumps back to you. Where you going?
One more time.
Well, we're not leaving the conference, guys, four in a row. And, you know, with a week where you have a lot of new matchups, how about we go to a matchup where this is the 110th time they will be playing each other? It goes back to 1888. The two schools are about 9 miles apart. You know where I'm going. Granted, maybe people look forward to it more so on the hardwood, but UNC Duke.
Just a tad.
I mean... Hey.
These two teams have both won 17 games over the last 2 years. The last two matchups, UNC have won 47-45 and 38-35. Bullshit calls in both games. Duke is due for a win after getting hosed by the
fucking Zebras. Carolina's won five straight. They won five straight.
But the last two games have been fantastic football games, and there's no reason why this one won't be either.
Look, maybe a round or two too high, but I still love the rivalry. Still love the rivalry. And you have been right. The past two games have been fire. And I would say this, if you throw out the 2020 COVID year and 21, where those were just UNC blowout wins, really like the past like six or seven of these have been fucking awesome. Carolina 47-45 a year ago. The year before that, Carolina 38-35. Now throw out those two I was alluding to. Then Carolina wins 20-17. The year before that, Duke wins 42-35. Year before that, Duke wins 27-17. Year before that, Duke wins 28-27. You have given us some classics here on Jefferson Pilot Sports. You know what I mean? Or the C Dub. So let's go. I like it. And by the way, shout out. I didn't talk about that. I should have. Shout out to Oregon State and Washington State getting a deal on C Dub where all their games will be, you know, I think six games will be nationally televised.
Nice.
Look, I think that's a. I think that's an underrated get, but for them.
Hey,
because exposure is all about, yeah, especially nationally televised.
Yeah.
Like C-Dub, believe it or not.
Get some eyeballs.
I feel like if you have YouTube TV, it's easier to find C-Dub than it is fucking Fox Sports 1 or CBS Sports. You know what I mean? So there's that for you. Patty, see your thoughts on Carolina Duke, the rivalry.
I mean, well, the rivalry itself, I wanted to ask you guys what, obviously Duke being a doormat for as long as they have been prior to like their recent, I guess, resurgence.
Since the 2000s. I'd say since the 2000s, Duke has really, and I read an article about this, the amount of money they've put in their football program. I think they're trying to be a little bit more.
Yeah, they're football. A much better football program.
Duke has deep pockets also. Talk about like kind of SMU-ish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Duke also has deep pockets. We forgot to mention them as far as a private school with deep pockets.
Yeah. I mean, they're not exactly in a metro center with the tons of people to recruit, but they can still
problem. Man, people keep on moving here, damn it.
All these damn Californians
and New Yorkers.
Yeah, you fucking ruining. Got homeless people throwing shit everywhere. You know what I mean? I can't take my dog. I can't walk fucking 200 yards without homeless people throwing shit at each other. All right. Oh, like sometimes it's actually literal shit. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Now, I happen to find it entertaining sometimes.
You never know, walking in Santa Monica if you see shit on the road, whether it's human or dog. You know, it's 50-50.
The amount of people that get dogs just for like the Instagram post too. You know what I mean? Like the amount of people that shouldn't have dogs that have dogs, just let them shit all through the neighborhood. What are you gonna say, Nick?
To GBO Farms was asking, well, is Duke going to spend that money on football? Well, I mean, they landed Malik Murphy, you know, in the transfer portal. That's
the article I read, and this is probably 8 months ago, was that they have put money into specifically football more than they ever used to.
Well, Kansas did the same thing, and you can see the results.
I think they realized that like football is driving the needle in all of this shit, so they need to get it going there.
Let me ask you this, though. Duke North Carolina as a rivalry, what would you consider an equivalent rivalry?
Kansas State.
No, I would not. Maybe a little bit, just because Kansas hasn't been that good.
Okay.
What about Virginia Tech? I'd call that a better.
I think Carolina
rivalry.
Duke really. I think Carolina Duke has better games than Virginia Tech.
Sure, they do. Oh but, yeah, for sure. I mean, in terms of the clout, football wise, of both of those teams, I would say Virginia Tech both have a little more. Virginia Tech than North Carolina, Virginia than Duke, but it's by a hair. That might be a comparable.
Trying to pump up UVA here.
This guy.
UVA has an all-time winning record against Duke, and then B, they've had some
better
teams.
Putting out much better pros lately than Virginia.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's approaching that same kind of level, which is not an elite rivalry.
Or surpassing.
Yeah, maybe surpassing up late.
Woo, woo. Shots to your soul.
I mean, last 2 years, both teams have won 17 games. How many years back do you have to count until UVA won that month? You know, what? I guess 4 years ago they were.
Bronco Mendenhall got like what, 8 or 9 wins, I think, 1 year.
Yeah, but still, they didn't combine for 17 over 2 years. I don't think. Yeah, those teams have sucked recently. Duke North Carolina is a rising rivalry, so I think it's a couple spots early. But I like to play, and especially since it's NC Nick, of course you got to play it here.
Yeah, Jeff in the chat says, from a betting perspective, do we lean towards betting coaches and QBs more than ever now? I think he's referring to the portal. So many new pieces and changes. How can we be that confident in our handicaps? Thoughts? Yeah, I mean, that's always been a big element to me, even prior to the portal going crazy. But yeah, I think maybe even more you trust that.
Coaches.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. Like, I think one of my best touts a year ago was Louisville to the ACC championship game. And a lot of that, another thing is schedules. With them and these gigantic fucking conferences. Futures. Yeah.
Jeff might mean more like game to game, but yeah.
Fair. I think the path is going to play a bigger role than ever.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right. NC Nick has played his. You knew he was going to play it. All right. Look, I'll buy into it. I got David in the chat. David's a longtime listener. Arizona is coming off their best season since goddamn Chuck Cecil. All right. And they're heading to Salt Lake City to Rice Eccles, where as much as I like these Wildcats and Brent Brennan, they ain't winning this fucking game. This is the problem with me playing this game.
You don't believe it'll be competitive.
I like Rice Eccles. you get your ass whooped in Rice Eccles. You know what I mean? Like, it's worthy because both teams, I do think, are good football teams coming into this year.
Well, they're probably the Big 12 number one and number two.
Well, from odds point of view, yeah. I think K-State's in there too.
Okay.
But if you're looking at, like, you know, last year, obviously, I think Utah only won like 7 or 8 games, but that's because they're starting their third string or four. Actually, technically, majority of the season, they started their fourth string quarterback.
In a hyper-competitive Pac-12.
Well, Cam Rising's back. He's 75 fucking years old. All right? And it's... You got to play the game. It deserves to be around this time. Like, I look, personally, I'd rather watch another game on this, but I think based on what they're returning for both teams, you got to play this game at least in the top 10.
Well, has Utah been like slammed outside of losing Cam Rising? Because with him coming back,
no,
they should be, and I think they probably are the prohibitive favorite.
I actually think they're the odds-on favorite to win.
Yeah. Well, last week when we had the odds, them and K-State were both plus 350, I want to say, so they were tied as the top two.
Yeah. Arizona is the question mark here. I think even though Arizona won 2 more games last year, I think Utah is pretty much a shoo-in as long as Rising can stay healthy to be...
As of right now, according to DK, Utah is the odds-on favorite. Kansas State second, Kansas third, Arizona fourth.
What are the odds for the first two? Utah and K-State.
Utah plus 340, K-State plus 360.
Okay, yeah. So last week they're both plus 350. So okay. Yeah, definitely top 10 game here because you do have two teams who were very good a year ago. Arizona win 10 games. Whittingham won 10 games the two previous years before last year because of the injuries. So this is the Big 12 matchup that I had a notch higher than Oklahoma State, Kansas State. But I mean, now that I'm thinking about it being at Utah, maybe
I think Oklahoma State, K-State's
better. Maybe it is. Okay. You guys have swayed me, but both are definitely top 10 matchups.
Jeff Sharp saying Utah's my pick to win that conference. They were so beat up last year and they still, Whittingham's such a good coach. Yeah, I'm with you. Patty, see your thoughts on me playing Arizona at Utah. A little desert, a little border battle.
Oh, I love it. I mean, this is, I guess, in the Pac-12 had started to become a frequently played game. I don't know if it ever cracked rivalry status, but you stay in the same conference again for, you know, the foreseeable future, and maybe this starts to develop.
And
Southwest football.
Have you know, Utah has a 6-game all-time lead, 26-20-2. Against these Wildcats. And I will say, I mean, look, they've been playing this one for
26
since 1924.
That's
so
a pretty competitive
100-year-old rivalry. Let's go.
Southwest football, we talked about it. And why is that? Because the Pac-12 is kind of monopolized by the West Coast. So there's deep Western teams have been going up north and playing the coastal
teams. There is an
teams.
Element that I love about this. It's Oklahoma and Texas, I think, should stay in the Big 12. But I do think it somewhat fits in the SEC. The Big 12 getting Utah and recently BYU and then Arizona and Arizona State, I think it fits.
I think it fits too.
And obviously Colorado back. Like, yeah. I think
Southwestern
there's an element to that that
Big
really
12,
fits.
Like
it really fits. Yeah. So that's why I hate the Big 10 the most, because it does not fit. None of all their expansion back when it was 2009 or 2010, when they're like, let's get Maryland and Rutgers. I was like, huh? Yeah. Right? And then they go to the West. They're probably going to be.
Where should the Big 10 stop? I think Pennsylvania is already pushing it.
Yes.
But I'll allow Penn State in there.
I think it's pushing it too. But I guess Western Pennsylvania kind of fits Big 10.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And then I think Nebraska, I think that's still Big 10 that country a little bit.
It somewhat fits. Now, I'd still prefer them in the Big 12. It fits.
Yeah.
I'd say that's pretty much where it stops.
Yeah.
Kansas does make sense for the Big 10, though.
Sure.
Kansas does. Kansas and Kansas State.
Yeah, that wouldn't be
Iowa State. But
that wouldn't be a misfit.
Yeah. But anyway, where the fuck are we at here? Patty C, you're on the clock. Let's go.
Couple choices here. Do I go
David
a little...
in the chat saying, I blame Kevin Sumlin for that overall record. Anyway, what are you doing?
Kevin Sumlin was
Arizona's head coach.
He was Arizona there. Yeah.
Remember when NC Nick? He took Kevin Sumlin against Arizona State.
Yeah.
They lost 70-7.
That's right. It wasn't Kevin Sumlin. I think maybe one of the only coaches I've ever seen get worse record wise for like seven straight seasons.
Even and that includes the UFL or the USFL.
That's right.
Yeah, the USFL. What are you doing here, buddy?
It's between. I'm not going to spoil the other game by saying it, but I am going to go. I'm going to steal someone's thunder. No, I'm not. I'm going to leave this one to you guys. I'll play the little TMZ play. You know, maybe we should go to this game. Probably not. There's enough good stuff on TV that we should probably not travel.
This is the game I hate.
5 minutes to the Rose Bowl to go see this game. But we're going to go. I'm going to go there. Oregon travels to the Rose Bowl.
Oh, not this one, actually. I like this one. Okay. I like it. Okay. All right. I mean, I thought you were taking us to the other bullshit the other one. Too. Yeah.
No, I'm not going with that one. Deshaun Foster, obviously, you know, a humongous question.
But
mark.
What I like is he is a Bruin.
Yeah.
He is a Bruin. So at least you got one and you know he cares about the fucking school.
Which most of the players at UCLA probably don't even care about the football team. I mean,
hey, I'll tell you this, Randy Cross, he cares. He's still, when we have Randy Cross on the show, he's still mad at that the university for the way they're handling football. And UCLA still leads this
50 years later.
They still lead this series 39-32, surprisingly. I guess that's not that surprising considering, you know,
Oregon was ass forever.
Yeah. And UCLA used to care about football. But NC Nick, your thoughts on UCLA hosting Oregon?
I do think this game is played too early. I had it further down. Basically, UCLA might be trash this year.
And Oregon's won 11 of 12, too. Ugh.
I think Oregon's going to be really good this year, and this could be blowout city. This is not on my list of, like, you know, I'm going to tune in for this game. Maybe, you know, hey, winning
wait
on the
second.
Road is
wait
hard.
A second. Wait a second.
Uh-huh.
This is going to be another empty game, just like Miami, Virginia Tech. All right. Now, it's not on a weekday. It's not on a weekday.
The TMZ UCLA fans will probably show up for Oregon.
That's true. Oregon will fly down too. Their fans will fly down.
Yeah.
Or they live here already.
When we went to the LSU UCLA game a couple years back, what would you say the attendance was at? Like 80%?
No, they still had tarps. Yeah. Like 80% with the tarps. Right. If you remove the tarps that say UCLA, which are like, gigantic fucking tarps,
like 60%.
Yeah, then it's like 55, 60.
I was also hoping that we could go through a top 10 games without naming any Big Ten schools. We were close. We had the top eight. We had talked about 16
well,
teams.
Well, this is an old Pac-12 game, though, man. They've been playing this game. This one actually counts because they've been playing it since like fucking 1900.
Is UCLA, do they have any history of playing a little above their normal level with a big opponent at the Rose Bowl?
Yes.
They do.
They beat GBO Farms, Tennessee. They beat Alabama. They actually have beaten the heavyweights. They beat A&M, Josh Rosen's comeback. They handle their own. Actually, if you do like a deep dive on UCLA at home, now it's normally not their Pac-12 opponents.
Right.
It's the non-con.
Yeah.
They beat them.
Maybe teams that are mesmerized by the Rose Bowl setting. Yeah.
They're going to get fucked up, though. I do think this is like the Utah one, or this potential to be like a 40 point win here.
Well, here's the thing. Oregon plays a physical brand dating back to Cristobal. And now,
what's his name? The DC from,
the little
Georgia
Irish
Lanning?
Rat.
Lanning.
Yeah. Jesus. So they're a physical brand.
Said Mike Helfrich.
Deshaun Foster. Maybe provide a more physical brand for UCLA that can match up well with what UCLA.
I don't think
it's
time though.
Yeah, I don't think this year, especially this thing was late when Chip Kelly left. Yeah. It was like, I don't know about you guys. I know Ryan Day was his former quarterback at New Hampshire, but it was like he got in an argument with admin and goes, you know what? Fuck you. I'm the new outfit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he did any planning. I just think he was in an argument about you're not going to throw money. You know what? Fuck you. I'm out of here. Where are you going to go? And he just calls Ryan Day. He's like, yeah, can I get that? Bill O'Brien just took that Boston College job. I'll take you need an offensive coordinator. I could be your guy. And boom, that's what happened.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. And I'll be honest. I don't blame fucking Chip Kelly. If UCLA doesn't want to throw, UCLA should be awesome, and they're not.
Yeah,
you fucking losers.
That's the public school losers. In California.
All right, I saw all those people trash your fucking campus the other day. You deserve that after the way you've handled your fucking football program. All right, you got legacy. You got great players in your fucking history, and you just you haven't been relevant since fucking Bob Toledo. You know what I mean? Like,
are we gonna start calling it Palestine? You, if we have a Saudi Arabia, you.
Well, if they start throwing some money behind it with some Palestinian money behind it, let's go.
I don't think they have very deep. Yeah.
Let's go.
I don't know if there are oil fields in Palestine. Not that I'm aware of.
There could be one or two out there. You know. Anyway.
Offshore drilling.
I like it. It's an old Pac-12 game. It doesn't count as a Big Ten game. I don't give a fuck what they say. It's like when Oklahoma plays Texas. It's not an SEC game. Fuck you. That's a Southwest game.
Or
Big Eight game. I'm sorry. No, there, Big 12 game.
There
Big
are 12, stands yeah. I'm willing to make and you know bite the bullet and hunker down on, like the Washington Redskins. Referring to this as a Pac-12 game for the foreseeable future is not one of them. This is now a Big Ten game.
No.
It's all right.
Fuck you. You're wrong. All right. Next up, NC Nick, you're on the clock.
I'm not taking that other game in Los Angeles. Not going to do it.
That one sucks, dude. Get that bullshit out of here.
It probably needs to be played within the next round or
what
two.
What do you mean? They were like 6-6 last year. Both teams aren't even that good.
Well, I'm about to play a game with even worse records, I think. But it's the first ever matchup. Colorado at Central Florida. Coach Prime goes back to the Sunshine State.
I mean,
that alone is a nice, interesting appeal. And I think both these teams, you know, I mean, both the universities are interesting because they're on the upswing. Let's see how far they can take it.
Oh, and you know, obviously, Coach Prime. Anytime you have him, it's worthy of viewing. It's, you know, this one will, Nick, move the national. Like, to me, anytime, sure. Like what Deion had, Colorado State is like the fucking seventh most watched college football game last year.
Colorado had been winning prior to that. These are two losing teams, 4-8 and 6-7.
Yeah. Last year, I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I mean, of course. Yeah. But are we assuming Colorado and UCF will be winning to this point in the schedule?
I mean, I think it's possible. Colorado's like, they could lose to North Dakota State. They could lose to Nebraska. They also could beat those teams. They play at Colorado State the week before.
Oh, if they start out, 3-4-0 coming into this game, then UCF.
The bounce house will be rocking.
Oh yeah. It could have some fun potential.
The moon bounce will be rocking.
It could also be a dud. This is a high risk, high reward play here.
Dude, this will be closer than Oregon UCLA.
Oh, in terms of the quality of game.
No, the score.
Competitiveness. Competitiveness. Yeah. Then I think that's probably true. However, in terms of the upside of both these teams, I'm not sure. Although the upside's there.
What the hell's the upside of UCLA? They haven't invested in football in 20
years.
True.
That's true. But which teams will have a combined better record at this point in the season? Oregon and UCLA or Colorado and UCF?
I'm going to say Colorado UCF.
You may be right.
Because I think UCF will be undefeated. And I think Oregon will be undefeated. And I think Colorado will have a better record than UCLA. UCLA's schedule's fucking hard, man.
Let me dive in here.
I mean, I guess Colorado's is decently hard too, but like UCLA's
got to
play
LSU. UCF has to win. UCF would have to beat at TCU the game before this.
I got them winning.
Colorado has
very well good.
North Dakota State at home, at Nebraska, at Colorado and Baylor. If they are,
those are all winnable, but they're also losable.
Yeah, they could be 4-0. Yeah. They could be 0-4. Yeah. UCF will be New Hampshire at home, Sam Houston at home, at TCU. That could be a loss and then a bye.
I think UCF will be. I think they'll be favored at TCU.
At TCU.
I do.
Gosh, that's a bold statement.
That TCU lost too much, man.
They were similar teams, and this one's on the road in Fort Worth. I would think UCF would lose that, but even a 2-1 UCF against a 3-1 Colorado is still a pretty good watch there. So I don't hate it, but if they're both undefeated, of course it's gonna be an awesome game. A lot of hype.
Sorry, I didn't mean to catch you.
No.
I think you just said shut the fuck up, Patty. Yeah.
I thought he was done. I thought he was done, but I mistimed it. All right, look, I want to play it, but I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm doing hipster Colby here. Look, I want to play Arkansas A&M because I feel like these games are always fucking insane, but I'm not. I'm going Liberty at the Rock. Welcome to the Rock.
Love it.
Liberty at Appalachian State's an awesome fucking game. All right, Jamie Chadwell, he's used to coming to the Rock when he was at Coastal Carolina. you know, back when he had the mullet. Now he's cleaned up his image. You know what I mean? He's got that Falwell blood money, Falwell blood money, whatever the fuck. And this game's awesome. Now, App State is going to be coming off, you know, a loss to ECU a couple weeks before, and Liberty's going to be coming off an ECU loss the week before. So both are going to know what it's like to get just absolutely beat down by the Pirates. But this is a critical game because you don't want that second loss. Liberty at App State's awesome. This should be moved to Thursday night because can we talk about our Thursday night game?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. That Army, might be on the what the fuck game.
Army at Temple.
Hurting, struggling,
and I'm still going to watch it over the NFL. That's how bad the NFL's dropped off. All right, that's how bad the NFL's dropped off. Like I don't even know what the NFL
Wait,
game
did
is.
Did EJ Warner skip town or
he's at Rice?
He's at Rice. Oh gosh, man, things are rough so bad at Temple.
That he transferred. Yeah, he transferred to Rice.
Yikes!
And then they brought in Montana's quarterback Clifton McDowell. They got the Big Mac. We got the Big Mick, and he transferred out too. Oof. So
you can't even keep the Big Mick in town.
The Big Mick left. Yeah. Anyway, no. Liberty at App State. Patty C, your thoughts on the Flamin' Libs coming into Boone?
13-1 at 9-5. App State probably better than that record, to be quite honest. A lot of shit talk from Liberty about the Sun Belt in general, whether it be JMU.
I like it. The fucking Sun Belt fans get on their high horse. They say they've played. By the way, this is the 11th matchup. Liberty.
What's the all-time record?
App State 7, Liberty 3.
Ooh, Liberty got to go on the road and prove everyone wrong.
Goes back to 1987. All right, this series. Back when Eric Green was playing tight end for the Flamin' Libs.
There's a lot more pride than I think the average fan knows that at stake in this game.
Oh yeah, this game's awesome. This game's awesome. Nick, your thoughts? I know you're an App State fan.
Obviously, I love it. I mean, you know, this is easily the best G5 versus G5 game on the slate.
Easiestly. That's a
easiestly. Is that what I said? I'm not even drinking tonight. What I was going to say, we mentioned it last week about all the Carolina schools, the Virginia schools playing each other. I mean, there's just been great games. Like in App State's first five games, they play Clemson, ECU, and Liberty. It's fun, perfect. Regional. It's
perfect.
Perfect. I mean, Liberty plays ECU and App State back to back.
And they play. Hold on. And App State plays East Tennessee State, which is great too, because they're like 10 miles up the road, right? This game's
an hour and a half.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Close enough. And they're old school rivalries in the SoCon, but this is an awesome game.
Let me ask you this:
what's that?
Jamie Chadwell or Sean Clark?
Chadwell.
Yeah, leaps and bounds. So.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. And given that advantage over Sean Clark from a coaching standpoint, presumably similar talent.
I think the Flamin' Libs are going to go in there and get the dub.
Go into Boone and get the dub.
I don't know about that.
Liberty's coming off the loss to ECU. They're not going to lose two games in a row.
You know, the other thing about this is that when
this
we
is
were
a
talking,
flawed analysis.
We were talking on Twitter last year, I think, or maybe I just saw this, you know, people, Sunbelt fans. And some people mentioned Liberty as a possible a candidate for expansion, and that got shot down so fast. You know, they don't like the private school. They don't like the religious-based school.
You're called the Sun Belt. That's a play on the fucking Bible belt. You
you're
fucking
the
losers.
Guy that says private school pussy and everything. I mean,
yeah, but sometimes it's fun to have one private school pussy as part of your
Houston
unit.
Oilers.
Yes,
when everyone's in a dome, it sucks. When one,
when there's one team wearing pussy powder blue and plays out of the run and shoot when no one else has heard of the run and shoot, it is awesome and it fits.
Yeah.
But
Liberty could be that team in the Sun Belt.
I mean, look how like there's a private school like Duke's private school, right? Baylor. It's cool to have one, so you can say we're taking on the private school pussies. You know what I mean?
That's a reason to get.
Is Vanderbilt fun in the SEC?
Well, now with Diego Pissipavia, hell yeah, they are.
Maybe.
All right.
Maybe.
When they beat Virginia Tech week one, write it. All right. Patty C, you're on the clock.
Looking around, I see a game that has potential Mountain West implications. I don't know that Wyoming will be able to, you know, replicate their recent success without Craig Bohl at the helm?
Oh, they'll be fine.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. They brought in the DC as head coach.
Yeah.
Air Force, I don't see them falling off. They have to get a new quarterback, but they look pretty damn good against my Dukes in the bowl game. Both teams 9-4. Air Force, a little bit better of a program at this point, but having to go to Laramie. Uniform porn at its finest.
It is. It really is.
You know, Air
and this
Force
is a
at
series
Wyoming.
That goes back. Obviously, the Air Force didn't have a football program until the 1950s. So when they started their football program, they started playing the Wyoming Cowboys. And Air Force has a 4-game lead. Last season, Wyoming blew a lead. Air Force came back and won 34-27. It was a great game. We watched it here. Prior to that, Craig Bohl had won 17-14 the year before. One of the only blemishes on that schedule for the Falcons. This game's awesome, dude. This game is perfect to me. See, this is what you're not going to get this shit on ESPN.
Yeah.
I still think it's a little bit overplayed to be a top 12 game.
Well,
Air Force Wyoming,
18 wins between the two last year, right?
Maybe 10? If it was Colorado State Wyoming, where there's a little hatred in there. I'm not familiar with this. I know this is not on that, you know, level of rivalry, but.
Well, didn't you say
Colby, to a lesser degree?
What, Colby mentioned, I want to say Craig Bohl, or maybe it was Rocky Long, which one of those, but I think Craig Bohl as well has had success against the triple option, right?
Yes.
Slows it down pretty well.
Well, the Wyoming's the team that gives Air Force the biggest fits, I think, in the whole Mountain West.
You think?
I think Rocky Long too, when he was at San Diego State, but Wyoming, I'm looking at the track record right now. Wyoming's won 4 of the last 7. It's been fair, but I'm saying like each game's been very fucking close.
Yeah, 17-14.
But
games.
If you go back even further, Wyoming has that since like 2011. Wyoming has won more as well than Air Force, but it's a fun matchup, man.
These are the teams that I think should be the top of the Mountain West. If the Mountain West wants to have a fun identity. If these two teams are near the top every year, Mountain West becomes a little bit of a sexy conference to me. In a not so sexy way, sexy.
Are you trying to fuck truck out?
Dude, we talk about uniform porn. I'm talking about sexiness. I got my dick out right now. Thinking about
stop
this
it. This is on the audio side. They're going to start questioning. All right. Although Troy Calhoun, he threw me for a fucking, he got me last year. I'm not falling for your antics this year. Remember last year I interviewed him. He's like, we're going to be horrible. He's like, I don't know what he's like. We can't do anything right now. So we lost.
Didn't Jeff Monken throw us for a loop saying they were going to throw the ball a lot more.
Yeah,
well he tried that.
No, they started. Throw, yeah. And then there's like, we're losing every game. Yeah. What are we doing? Yeah. I like that play. All right.
I'm going to get some more beers. You want one?
No, I'm good.
I'll be right back.
Jumping back to NC Nick, where are you taking us?
I think it's time we got to start checking off some of these more TMZ kind of games. Wisconsin at USC.
Oh, God.
It still sounds like a Rose Bowl. There's still national intrigue. The two programs are still big time college football programs. Maybe Wisconsin has hit on hard times a little bit. We'll see in year two now.
See, I'm going to call.
Same thing with USC. Hot seat. I mean, that's a reason to watch. I think it's a decent game here.
I'm going to say, though, that it's a little bit bullshit what we're doing here. Like, I mean, I guess we're so late along that you have to play this.
Oh, come on. Where would you have this game? I mean, it's gotta be played.
Well,
here.
Check this out. USC was 6-0 all time until the 2015 Holiday Bowl in San Diego, where Wisconsin won by 2, but a lot of these were shellackings. All right.
Yeah.
Only twice has it been within a score. This is one. Look, you got to play it, I guess, because you're at this point where you're at this point. But I this is one of these fake games that the TV execs are like, we compare Wisconsin with USC, and I'm like, that game makes me want to fucking fall asleep.
I agree. I'm not all that excited to watch it, but I think with two names like that, you have to play them here.
I understand it needs to be like with their recent history.
Although the Dairy Raid. Is a far
this is
cry.
Two air raids.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. It's like this is like Texas Tech taking on fucking Baylor with Eric Briles or something, even though that was an air raid. My point is it's if it was Ron Dane taking on USC, it'd be a little more appealing, but
and if it was in Wisconsin in fucking November.
How do you think the turnout will be at this game?
Pretty decent.
Because USC fans, right?
60,000.
Wow. Weehawk says USC -4.5 on DK. I mean, I think I'd ride with the Trojans there big time.
I do too. I actually think USC was going to fuck them up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, you know, major question marks at the quarterback position for USC. Apparently Miller Moss looked like ass.
Major question marks for the quarterback at Wisconsin. It's Van Dyke looked like shit last year.
That hasn't been their MO, but I guess that is their MO with Jeff.
Air Raid. Or,
well, who's a fucking OC?
I think Van Dyke's looked like shit ever since Rhett Lashley left.
Yeah. What do you mean? Are we talking? What's
Wisconsin's OC?
Longo. Phil Longo.
Yeah, Jeff Longo. Yeah. Or Phil Longo. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if Wisconsin has to throw the ball around and that is their, I still feel like they ran the ball a lot, even though they were Derry Raid last year. I could be wrong on that, but I feel like maybe it's going to take a couple of years for them to transition, or maybe Phil Longo has adjusted to the talent at his disposal. But I don't think they were as pass happy as you know they were while he was
ran
at
UNC. They had 2,000-yard backs with Michael Carter and what's his name. Who's the other running back who's on the
Broncos? Javonte Williams.
I still think they were a pass first.
They didn't have a 1,000-yard running back last year.
Wisconsin didn't?
No.
All right, maybe I'm wrong. Let's go back
to Van Dyke for a second. Did he not learn from Graham Mertz? You know, whenever you start trademarking nicknames and logos of yourself, your play goes down shortly thereafter.
Maybe that's
Van Dimes is a cool name, but he hasn't played well since.
Well, I think he looked at Tanner Mordecai's strong 9 touchdowns and 4 interceptions and said, I can go up there and do that.
Yeah, all that's right? The air raid. Mike Leach would have that in one game.
Yeah. Very true. Very true.
I agree. The game kind of sucks.
Yeah. This is what I'm saying. It's one of these forced games. There's a bunch of them on the schedule that won't get drafted, but there's a bunch on this week, if I can say that. All right. Time to go. Speaking of Mike Leach, Washington State's going to the Smurf Turf. I love this game.
I like it too.
Like, this is one of the ones they, I feel like Boise got Leach in one of the first years he was building Washington State. I'm quickly trying to pull up the history here, but I like the fact that now, you know, look, I want Washington State to be a power school. But if there's a cool side of this is them having this deal with the Mountain West. I love a lot of these Mountain West schools, and I love Washington State.
Which school tickles your hipster fancy more, Washington State or Boise State?
Well, I have a deeper connection with Washington State because they're the ones that gave us our first break, right?
True.
But Washington State's 5-1 all time against Boise. Remember, Boise's what, 3-0 all time against Oregon. Washington State's been sticking it to these Broncos.
They're immune to their hipster appeal.
Actually, Washington State won the last matchup with Leach.
We've seen Boise in person twice. You just seen Wazoo in person once, is that right?
No, I've seen it in person twice. I caught Washington State at San Diego State with my buddy.
Son of a.
We saw Washington State at USC. That's the other one.
Oh, I've actually seen Washington State 3 times. Yeah, 3 times. Yeah.
I was just gonna say Boise fans are fantastic, nicest people in the world. Very hospitable. Come over, have a beer. You know, just nice people. I enjoy the Boise fan base.
Well, and Washington State's like 1 mile from Idaho, so this is a nice little border battle for Patty C's sake.
There you go.
Right. All right, Washington State 5-1. Boise's got to get their shit together and get a win here. Patty C, your thoughts on this one?
Sure. I mean, who do you think is the better team, Washington? I don't know if
on the Smurf Turf. I think you have to favor Boise.
Yeah, Boise, did they win the Mountain West last
year?
They did. Okay.
And they fired their coach.
Now, I watched the roast of Tom Brady, and Washington State graduate Drew Bledsoe was actually pretty funny taking some shots at the guy who took his job.
Yeah.
I don't know why I mentioned that. No real reason, but
he's the first pick in the draft. That you're showing the talent that Washington State can provide. Miami goes out and buys Cam Ward off their roster. All right. Cam Ward, you know, Miami outbid Ohio State for Cam Ward.
Woo.
So, showing that the quarterback talent doesn't matter, whether it's Tim Rosenbaugh, whether it's Mark Rippon, Super Bowl winner, Mark Rippon, whether it's Gardner, Mustache, Minshew, they're
churning them out.
They got winners, man. They got an FCS transfer coming in that I'm excited about.
Maybe I think Colby's trying to grow himself a Minshew as well.
There you go.
Something like that.
It's coming in a little thicker than I remember Colby being able to grow. So Colby's aging like a fine wine over there. Let me ask you this. Maybe the Bledsoe fade of Brady has something to do with Wazoo getting left out of the Big Ten and Michigan being probably part of that decision.
Brady made a phone call?
Yeah.
Says, you know, Bledsoe, he came back that AFC championship in 2000.
Keep him out.
Yeah, keep that bastard out. No, and see, Nick, what do you think of this game?
I like it. I mean, it is for everything you just said. Regional battle, border battle, two programs that I think all of us have enjoyed over the years. Does it lose a little bit of luster with Wazoo not being P4 anymore?
Well, they would never play in Boise, I don't think, before.
Yeah, true. But no,
so I think it gains luster because of that.
Okay. Maybe Wazoo.
Can you gain luster? I've heard you lose luster. Can you gain luster?
You get polished up.
They did play in Boise. Actually, last time they played in Boise, Washington State, that was the one time they lost. So they've been to Boise once.
Hey, man, you go to Smurf Turf,
twice.
You lose.
They won in 98 against Dirk Cutter.
What are the odds?
33-21.
What are the odds this is a conference matchup within the next 3 years?
Pretty high, probably.
Is this going to be on the C-dub? All right.
What are the odds that these two teams play in the Mountain West Championship game in the next 3 years?
I'd say pretty high. I'd say 5 years. 5 years.
There you go.
All right, folks. Before we get to Patty C's pick, I want to tell you, if you're watching on YouTube, just stay put. Everything's fine. On the audio side, make sure to check out the B-side as we hop on over. You're listening to the College Football Experience Week 5 2024 season preview and picks. So check it out. Check out the B-side. And remember, as always, folks, too, let it ride.
You see where your business can go. To get there, you may need
another 10 trucks.
At Century Insurance, we put more than 115 years of industry experience to work to help protect you as you
launch a new delivery service
or
expand into a new region
and reach your business goals. Century, right by you. Property and casualty coverages are underwritten and safety services are provided by a member of the Century Insurance Group, Stevens Point, Wisconsin. For a complete listing of companies, visit century.com. Policies, coverages, benefits, and discounts are not available in all states. See policy for complete coverage details.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug, but I ended up connecting to the world around me, a world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.